All right, welcome everyone to another episode of the Speak Truth podcast. I want to start off today by promoting my new book, A Christian Journey, Making Sense of Spiritual Depression. You can get your copy on Amazon. It's available in Kindle, paperback, and of course, this is the hardback. Again, you can find those on Amazon.com. We do have a few copies here at the church that we'll be selling as well, but there's only a limited supply. I hope that you, if you get it, you read it, and that it proves to be a blessing to you. I've got Ashton with me today, Ashton Wright, who is one of our pastors here on staff. He's back.
I'm back. I made it back.
What have you been doing?
Nothing. I've been waiting my turn.
That's what every pastor wants to hear.
From his staff. That's what your boss wants to hear. Yeah, I've been doing nothing.
What have you been doing?
Let me change that. Matter of fact, I've just been laboring.
You've been laboring. Well, I'm glad you're with me today, and I know you work hard, but all right. Am I asking you questions, or are you asking me?
I'll be asking you questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So today we're talking about Mormonism.
Mormonism, yep. Yeah.
And so as we were just discussing, Mormon
when I was a kid, there was a man who would go around and he would sell feed, like cattle feed, mm-hmm. to cattle.
Yeah.
And so, but the name of the brand of feed was called Mormon.
Yeah.
And so he was known as the Mormon man.
Interesting.
He wasn't a Mormon.
yeah, different connotation.
Yeah, different connotation.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, we are here today to talk about Mormonism and what it is and when it began and all those different things. Yeah. So
starting off, why is Mormonism when considered to be a part of Christianity? When people will call Mormons Christian.
Yeah, well, just the short answer is because they don't know. If someone is a Christian, a true Christian, and they claim Mormons to be mm-hmm. Christian as well, it's because they don't understand Mormonism.
Right.
And if someone is a Mormon and they think they're a Christian, they're mistaken.
Right.
If they're, Latter-day Saint, they're mm-hmm. they're mistaken.
Yeah.
Christianity and Mormonism is diametrically opposed to one another.
Yeah.
It's not the same God. It's not the same Jesus. It's not the same salvation.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, as they like to be known, to be called the Church of Latter-day Saints, is actually the largest religious cult in the world.
Yeah.
So definitely not Christian. Good people, absolutely. A lot of great, kind people. A lot of strong families. A lot of great, civil servants, and so forth, who are Mormons. But the reality is that Mormonism at its core is a cult. And I can say more about that.
Yeah, well, I'd like to, can you address that? What makes that, makes it a cult rather than a, a religion in the, like Christianity, so on and so forth.
Yeah, well, let's just talk about what Mormonism is. So, first of all, as of 2019, the Mormon cult counts more than, they claim to have 16 million members. Mm. Of course, Mormonism teaches that there are many gods, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit being three separate gods among many other gods, which is totally opposite of what Christians believe and what the Bible teaches. So they're not, if it's a different God, then it's a different religion.
Right.
So it's not the same. They also believe that it's possible for humans to ascend to godhood through obedience to moral laws, observance of religious rituals, and that are central to the Mormon faith. Now, it's important for us to understand how Mormonism began.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And As many people know, the Mormon Church was founded by Joseph Smith, Jr. And he was born in Vermont. And I'm just looking at my notes because I want to make sure I get this right.
Yeah,
but
right.
He was born in Vermont in 1805. And he actually grew up attending a Methodist and a Presbyterian churches.
Interesting.
Yeah, but thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know
but
that.
In 1820, he claimed to have a revelatory vision of two divine beings whom he said were God the Father and Jesus Christ. He went on to say that at this revelation, they taught him that all Protestant denominations were wrong. And so, according to Smith. And in 1823, he said that an angel named Moroni showed him several golden plates with religious inscriptions on them. So these golden plates were revealed to Joseph Smith, according to him, by this angel Moroni. And the angel supposedly also gave him a pair of seer stones set in a frame-like pair of spectacles. So he would look through these frames at the plates with the inscription, and he said that the English translation emerged. So according to him, it was this supernatural act of where he was able to translate these golden plates by looking through these seer stones set in frame-like pair of spectacles. So he was able to look through, see, and as a result of that, the English interpretation began to make its way out. So you have a religion, if we are so kind to use that word. I prefer, you know, I know it sounds harsh, but but cult.
In the definition of cult, right?
But you can see there that it was actually started by one man who claimed to receive a revelatory vision and supernaturally through these golden plates. And then eventually there was a man, he had an acquaintance named by, Oliver Cowardy, and Smith, he would look at the plates and the English would come and he would interpret it, but it was actually Oliver Cowardy who actually wrote it down. So it was a collaborative process, and that's how the Book of Mormon actually came about. So that's what produced the Book of Mormon. I've always been tickled by the idea that the angel's name was Moroni. It sounds a lot like, you know, something else. But but nevertheless, in 1830, Joseph Smith founded an institution that he called the Church of Christ. So in, not the Church of Christ as we know today, but in 1838, he changed the name from the Church of Christ to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And in addition to the Book of Mormon, he also wrote other books that he believed were inspired, such books as Divine Doctrines and Covenants, and then also the final book of Scriptures, which he called The Pearl of Great Price. Smith moved around the country, and eventually he was arrested in Illinois in 1844 for treason, public disruption, and polygamy. And a lynch mob stormed the prison, and they actually killed Smith and his brother Hiram. So, and then which resulted in Brigham Young becoming the leader of the early Mormon community. He succeeded Smith after the crisis that led to Smith's death. He eventually, you know, led his disciples to the Great Salt Plain basins of Utah, and where they founded Salt Lake City. So that is the, you know, kind of the origins of Mormonism in a nutshell. But if you want to, I can talk about what, like, you know, what are some of their main beliefs.
Some, and even like key distinctions, like you're saying.
Okay.
Those beliefs that we that go against what we would say orthodoxy, like true Christian.
Well, there's four main beliefs within Mormonism, and the first one is the belief of continuing revelation. So the four written sources of Revelation in the LDS are the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and the Covenants, the Pearl of Great Price, and the King James Version of the Bible. Mm. So, however, in Mormonism, divine revelation is not limited to these books, but also includes the utterance of their living prophets.
Right.
So they believe that divine revelation is still being given today in the authoritative sense of Scripture.
Right.
So the church has developed this doctrine and this practice over time. Their president, the president of the LDS, is considered to be a living prophet. Mm. And individual members are also encouraged to seek personal revelation. And according to the church, and this is a quoting, Latter-day Saints believe in an open scriptural canon, which means that there are other books of Scripture besides the Bible, such as the Book of Mormon, and that God continues to reveal His Word through living prophets. Mm. And so, of course, that is in direct contradiction to Christianity.
Right.
We have no authoritative book outside of the Bible.
Yeah, right.
The Bible is our authority. It is the inerrant, infallible Word of God, and we need no other book but Scripture. So we would reject the Book of Mormon and the Book of Covenant and Doctrine and the Book of the Pearl of Great Price. We would reject those books, and we would say that Scripture alone, sola scriptura. So they believe in continuing revelation, and so that you kind of ask yourself, well, where does that end?
Right.
What new revelation is going to be given?
Yeah.
What other books
yeah.
are going to come out, and so forth? So it's just unending. Then secondly, they believe in what's referred to as humanized deity. Mm. So you've got continuing revelation and humanized deity, and that's the belief in a plurality of gods. So they believe that these plurality of the these gods pre-existed as material spirits. And this is a foundational belief within LDS.
Mm-hmm.
But so they would go on to say that the God of this world was once a man who became a god, little g. So the God of this world was a man who was faithful to Mormon practices, who has now been exalted to godhood over his own planet.
Mm.
Smith said, and I quote, "God himself was once as we are now and is an exalted man. We have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea. God himself, the Father of us all, dwelt on the earth, the same as Jesus Christ himself did." So he makes a distinction there.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically saying that God the Father actually walked on the earth just like Jesus. So he would be saying that God the Father is a God among many gods, who was exalted to deity, or was a man who was exalted to deity because of his faithfulness. So they believe that God ascended to godhood. So also righteous men and women also can become gods.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a faithful Mormon to Mormon practices and rituals, faithful to their key beliefs and tenets, then you have access into the celestial kingdom.
Mm.
And they have three different ideas of the kingdom, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but the celestial kingdom is reserved for only faithful Mormons. And if you make it to the celestial kingdom, then you're exalted to deity, and then you become the god of your own planet. So, they would say that Jesus is the eternal begotten Son of God. However, they would go on to say that he is not the supreme God.
Mm.
So
he's lesser.
He's lesser. And this is a direct quote from Smith, Joseph Smith, and I quote, "The apostles have discovered that there were gods above, there being a God above, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So according to Smith, Jesus was an eternal spirit being who together with his spirit brother, Lucifer, That's what they hold to, is that Jesus, this eternal spirit being, had an eternal spiritual brother, Lucifer, and that they were made incarnate to be, he was made incarnate, Jesus, in order to be tested, in order to become God. Not that he is the eternal God who came in the flesh, but he was an eternal spirit who took on flesh in order to become a God.
Yeah.
It's almost the idea of adoptionism, you know, the idea that Christ did not become divine until his baptism when the Holy Spirit descended. Yet they would say
that makes sense, that comparison.
Yeah. And so they also hold to what is known as the pre-existent humanity.
Yeah.
Okay, and what that means is that every human existed before birth as an eternal spirit child. So they would say your spirit, you know, has eternally existed. Smith would say, and this is a direct quote from Joseph Smith, man as a spirit was begotten and born of heavenly parents and reared to maturity in eternal mansions of the Father prior to coming to earth in a temporal body. So the idea is that man should seek to become a God in the afterlife by living a righteous life.
Yeah.
You're an eternal spirit. You have been given a body. You're placed on this planet in order to live a righteous life according to Mormon principles so that you can become a God.
Yeah. See, I did not know that they believed that about Jesus and about human beings. It's the same path.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus did it, and every human should do.
That's right.
And they become the same as... Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... But I can see now how they make that comparison.
That comparison. There.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that... another fourth main belief is what is called atonement and afterlife. And so Mormons believe that Jesus is the Redeemer who died on a stake. Not to atone for sin, though. Mm. Not to atone for sin, but only to guarantee the resurrection of the people. So after death, they believe that after death, people's souls go to the spirit world where they await resurrection and the final judgment. Mm-hmm. And they also believe that there are three levels of glory. And I made reference to this earlier. I'll expound on it now. But they also believe that there are... as I said, three levels of glory. They refer to this as the celestial kingdom, the terrestrial kingdom, and the celestial kingdom. Okay? So, and then the outer darkness is reserved for those who do not attain to at least one of those levels. So, if you don't get one of those levels, then there's outer darkness. But, those who reject the Mormon teaching and continue in sin are sent to the celestial kingdom. And according to them, this is the lowest level of glory. Basically, at this level of the kingdom, you're just a servant. You just you don't have any access to God's presence. Mm. You're just there to serve. And when...
So this is even if you said you don't hold the Mormon teaching, you're in sin, but you still make it to that lower level.
Yeah, you still make it because you tried to live a good life, you tried to be a good person, and God's going to honor that because of your good works. And so even though you're not a Mormon, he's still going to let you into the celestial kingdom, but it's the lower level of glory, and basically you're just a servant. You don't get to be in the presence of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they believe that when Christ establishes his reign on earth, that the members of the celestial kingdom will live as imprisoned spirits until the end of that period. Mm. So you are a servant, an imprisoned spirit, until the end of Christ's reign on earth. And then there's what they refer to as the terrestrial kingdom, which is the destination of those who live good lives but do not accept the Mormon gospel. And so they enter into the terrestrial kingdom, they experience the presence of Jesus. And this is the distinction they make. You can experience the presence of Jesus in the terrestrial kingdom, but not the fullness of God the Father.
Yeah.
So again, making that distinction
yeah.
that Jesus is lesser somehow than the Father.
Yeah.
You can be in Jesus' presence, but you can't be in the Father's
Father,
presence.
That's the ultimate.
Yeah. And so for them, only the righteous, those who live according to Mormon teachings and have undergone Mormon ordinances, go to the celestial kingdom.
Mm.
And so, and if you make it to the celestial kingdom by being a faithful Mormon, then you become a god of your own planet. You populate the planet, with your spouse, and they also believe that it is possible to move up in the levels of glory even after death, if one believes the Mormon gospel in the spirit world. So
that
in the spirit world, you still have a chance to embrace Mormon teaching and vicariously to receive Mormon ordinances. And if you do that in the afterlife, then you can move up in your levels of glory. So, which sets that apart distinctly
right.
from Christianity.
Right.
Let me look here. So if we think about how does this hold up against biblical Christianity?
Right.
Well, the contrasts are clear.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Christianity holds that the Old and the New Testament are the inspired, infallible Word of God.
Yeah.
Period.
Yep.
That's it. We reject the Book of Mormon as false. We reject the Book of Doctrine and Covenant as mm-hmm. false. We reject the Book of the Pearl of Great Price as false. We do not hold them to Scripture. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bible is the Word of God, and so that clearly sets us apart.
Which is why it makes sense that Joseph Smith believed that the Protestant reformers were because
of sola scriptura.
Sure,
We believe that the God of Scripture is the true and living God. Okay, and God is spirit, and He eternally exists in three distinct persons.
I was going to ask you about this.
Yeah. So we believe in one God,
mm-hmm.
Yet three distinct persons. All equal in essence, but yet with distinct roles, but yet those roles overlap because all three persons of the Godhead mm-hmm. are involved in the work of redemption.
Right.
And so we, being Trinitarians, Christians believe in a holy triune God.
Yeah.
And that Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each equal to one another, but yet distinct in their person. And so that would definitely, the Mormon view of God and
mm-hmm.
the rejection of the Trinity and their view of Christ in no way has comparisons to Christianity
right.
at all.
Right.
And so God made us in His own image, and so man did not exist before creation,
right.
contrary to Mormon teaching. Jesus died in our place on the cross in order to propitiate the wrath of God. And we believe that Jesus died to save us from our sins,
mm-hmm.
from eternal wrath. And we believe that through faith in Christ on the last day, we'll be resurrected unto eternal life, and which makes us distinctly different from LDS, who believe that Jesus died on a stake, but not to atone for sin,
mm.
only to provide resurrection. And so we believe, Christianity teaches, that salvation is by grace through faith, whereas Mormonism would teach that salvation is by belief in Jesus, Mormon baptism,
mm-hmm.
And then also good works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spoke to a Mormon one time that they couldn't see that. They said, yeah, it's by grace. You know, it's in Jesus. We believe that. And then I said, that then they followed up with, but yeah, if you don't get baptized, then you go to the lowest part of the key. If you miss baptism,
well, and that's the weird thing. They also believe in the baptism of the dead. So, like, if like, let's say you're a Mormon,
mm-hmm.
and or bad, yeah, and I'm not,
yeah,
and I die, but yet you want me to be in the kingdom,
yeah,
you can get baptized in my place. You can get baptized for me.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that makes sense though when you.
So what you'll have
with their belief.
And I've seen this in Mormonism, you'll have Mormons who will contact their family and they want a list of all their dead relatives.
Wow.
And they will get baptized in the name of those dead relatives for that relative's salvation, for their advancement in glory.
Yeah, in the kingdom.
Yeah. They will get baptized for them, thinking that somehow that takes them out of darkness and puts them in the celestial kingdom.
Yeah.
Or if they're in the celestial, it puts them in the terrestrial. Or perhaps if they're in the terrestrial, it moves them to the celestial. But so our goal in this podcast is just kind of give a brief overview and a distinction between Mormonism. We're not here to beat up on Mormons, but we are here to share what Mormons believe. We do believe that Mormons are lost and in need of the gospel, the true gospel, and we would be willing to answer any questions that someone may have who's in Mormonism or who's coming out of Mormonism. And so please feel free to reach out to us if we can help you in any way.
Absolutely.
But until we meet again,
serve the King.
Serve the King.